Hey guys, you're listening to episode 2 of I Watched That with Fran and Kyle. On today's episode, we'll be talking about the Canadian phenomenon, Schitt's Creek. So Kyle, why don't you tell us a brief rundown of the show and what it is?
Thank you, Fran. Thank you, Fran, so much. Schitt's Creek is an absolutely fantastic Canadian sitcom. It came out about 5 years ago. It started in 2015. And it's made by Eugene Levy and Dan Levy. They're a father-son duo. And basically, it's a very simple concept. And also, it's been done before. But the way they do it in this sitcom is really good. But basically, it's about Eugene Levy's character, whose name is... John, that's what it is. John Rose. He owns a video store, I would imagine kind of like Blockbuster or something. And he owns this huge all the stores, right? And then basically at the start of the show, something happens and his financial advisor kind of messes him over, right? So then they lose all their money and they only have one remaining asset, and it's a town called Schitt's Creek. And funny enough, it was for his son David, who he gave it to as a joke. So literally the start and even the title of the show is already a joke, so I just love that already. But so they move, it's four of them, John, the husband, Moira, the wife, Alexis is the younger daughter, and then David's the older son. And so they all move there, and then they meet the Schitts, who are the family that that's what it is. Roland is like the mayor of the town, and they move into the motel which is called, oh my god, Fran, what is it called? I don't remember.
They changed it to Rosebud at the end.
Oh, wasn't it just called? Oh my god, I think it was just a motel.
It was just a rundown, very unknown.
It was like a rundown motel basically. So yeah, they start there, and basically at the start they're very kind of like, I admit, maybe not John is kind of somewhat normal. But yeah, the other ones are kind of like spoiled, like the children are complete brats, even though like one of them's in their 30s and one of them's in their 20s. Right? And you could see they've had lives that been kind of fake. Like they didn't really have genuine relationships with other people. You can see that they've had friends, but they were probably all rich friends. And if they weren't rich friends, they only probably cared about their money. Like that's it. And throughout like the 6 seasons of the show, they really start becoming more independent. They start making actual friendships, relationships that can be held on for like a long time. And they start to realize what life actually is about. It's not about the money or all the clothes or the materialistic stuff. It's about the relationships you form. And like, it's a very simple message, but it's also just really, it's really wholesome and sweet. And also like, for example, they also treat, there's no discrimination against people here. Like for example, like David is pansexual, but there's no discrimination against him whatsoever. You know, everyone accepts him the way he is, you know. Yeah, I think that's really beautiful.
It is really nice. And I like that episode where they, when him and Stevie have that like little fling. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, wait a minute, are you like, and then he makes the whole metaphor with the wine, like sometimes I like red, sometimes I like white, you know, like there are no labels, it's just I am who I am.
I love that. Yes, I even remember this, I don't exactly remember which episode it was, but I think it was John explaining to Roland that he states that he is pansexual and he's known that for a long time and he's accepted him for the way he is. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like it's almost like, I even watched this video recently explaining how it's almost like a utopia, Schitt's Creek, where it's like this small, kind of like small town utopia where everyone's like there's problems, obviously. People get mad at each other, but it's never because of, it's never because of someone's sexual preference or race. It's just because they did something they didn't like. It's never because of, it's never because of discrimination ever. And I love that.
Oh my God, the perfect world.
It's Lucius Reese, literally the perfect world that we wish we could have.
Well, Kyle, I think that was a perfect way to encapsulate what Schitt's Creek is all about. So let's get into this, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you, who is your favorite character and who is your least favorite character?
Okay, favorite has to be David.
Of course.
It's funny because at the start, he is kind of like, he is entertaining, but you could see he's kind of like, he's very mean sometimes, right? But I kind of love that because like, also like, he's a, because like, he's also like really sometimes mean to Lexa because it's his like younger sister, but I like find it hilarious, you know?
Of course.
Because I never had that before because I don't have any younger siblings and I don't have a sister, right? So I had no one to make fun of. I was the one that was teased. Aww. So like,
I feel that.
So it was kind of nice. I just love everything about him. I love that he is what he is, you know, and he's open about it. Also, I like that. I think this doesn't happen in most shows where, because he's pansexual, right? He likes anything, right? Mm-hmm. But like most people would assume he's only gay because he's very effeminate, right?
Yes, and like, mm-hmm. because with men, a lot of like men who are either bisexual or pansexual, that gets erased and society just labels them as gay.
Exactly. But I like how he likes like both or just anything, and he's still the way he is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I know, it was an interesting portrayal because I've never seen that before in shows. It doesn't really happen often where a guy's effeminate, but he still likes girls or something like that, you know?
Hmm.
But yeah, no, David just, I think his growth is the best because at the start he relies on his family at all times. He gets the money from his dad. I don't, like everyone does basically. But throughout the whole show, everyone becomes their own independent person. Like he starts basically like a general store and has like cosmetic products or just anything. I think it's called the Rose Apothecary or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's the amazing thing is that he went through that route and he forms a relationship with the person that helped him make that business, Patrick, who is part of my second favorite. Because their relationship is so sweet. And it's not perfect because sometimes they do get angry at each other. You know, they get mad because of something they did. But always at the end, they really do love each other. And I love how they're very much the opposite type of person, you know? Because yeah. Patrick is he's more upfront about his emotions and he's straight up. But with David, he had a hard time doing that because he seems like he basically has a backstory of having a lot of friends that treated him badly. And I love that at the very end of the show, he's the only one that chooses to stay in Schitt's Creek. Everyone else leaves. And I love that he stayed because first off, it makes sense for him. His business is there. His husband's there. It made the most sense. Also, I love that John gave that town to him as a gift. So I love that he's the one that stays. I think that's very clever of that they put him to stay. And originally it was a gift like from his father technically, right?
I realize that you're so
yeah good. So and also it's either he was gonna stay there or go to New York, and I remember it's probably maybe my favorite scene in the show where he's talking to Stevie, who is basically his best friend. She's telling him like, why would you want to go to New York when all those people hurt you so much, you know? And it's a very emotional scene, especially for a sitcom, you know?
Yeah.
But it's amazing. It's so well acted. The writing's fantastic. And it's great because they're literally on, because he hasn't made his decision yet. They're on the hood of a car and they're just having like a real moment between like two very close friends. And she's showing him the house that him and his husband could get and live here instead of going to New York where he would just be, he wouldn't be growing there, you know? And also, if he wants to make a family, like, it would be so much better to live in Schitt's Creek than, like, live in New York City, right? So, like, yeah, that, there's the, because that's the thing, it's a very, it's a comedy, right? But there's those few moments that are very sweet and very, just very wholesome. Like, there's even another scene where, I think probably my third favorite character is definitely John, because he's the least, like, he's the least, how do you call it? He's the least, like,
least problematic, like he has his
he's the least problematic, he's the least
like he has his head on straight, like he knows
he's like the that guy, he's like that's basically that's what I mean for him. But like he, there's this one scene where it's like, it's the, I think it's the end of season two, I think, and they bump into these old rich friends of theirs, right? And they pretend, do you remember this friend? It's a great scene. They pretend that, like, they don't actually live in Schitt's Creek. They're kind of vague of where they live. But this rich, but these rich friends know that they lost all their money. And they didn't help them whatsoever. They weren't really true friends. No. And then the Schitts, Roland and his wife come. And, you know, they kind of, like, it's because John and Mario, they're kind of being a little mean to them. Because they pretend like they don't know the Schitts, the Roland and his wife. And it's kind of, it's a little mean. But at the end of the scene, because the rich friends are talking about the town and how, like, bad it is or whatever, and why would anyone live there? And then, you know what, he makes up for being mean to them by saying, you know what, this is the town we live in. These two friends that we should have said we were friends with them took us in and made us feel at home when you guys didn't do anything for us. And it was an amazing moment for that scene. I love, it's so good. It's so good. So I would say, yeah, he's probably my third favorite. And also, like, there's that, oh my God, the season four finale with the Christmas episode for him.
Yeah. Aww.
John is, he's such a sweetheart. He's so cute. He is, he's adorable. And that's the thing I've noticed about almost all the characters in this show. Like, there's probably, like, my my least favorite would maybe be, like, probably Roland, being honestly, honest.
Same here.
But I don't hate him. He's just my least favorite because I think the other characters are more funny and they have much more of a development. But for what he is, I think he's quite good. And he did help them, you know?
Yeah.
He really did. So, like, I feel like there's really no bad character in the show. I think they're all well-written. But obviously the four main ones are the most well-written because, like, they're the main characters. You know, that's what you care for. You want to see, every time you go see you see an episode, you want to see what the roses are up to at all times. You don't even care what they're doing.
That's what you said, right? It's a utopia. So, like, there, I feel like there can't be any, like, bad, mean characters. It's just... maybe some that you get annoyed with because of, like, their antics in a few episodes or something.
Yeah, but also, like, if they're being like that, it's because, you know what? We're like that sometimes. Sometimes we get the better of things. Like, some things get the better of us, right? And we don't act like we should be. But all that really matters is that you learn from it and you don't do it again. And I think that's also what that shows, the show's about, too, is that it's really about not going back to where you, what you once were, because you can be so much better, you know? Because that was really good. But it's true though, right? I feel like it's funny how, like, this like this little Canadian sitcom is just so, it's not, I would say it's a little complex because there's a lot of really good stuff in it. It's very well written, you know? And it's also well shot too for a sitcom, you know? Like, it's just, I love it. All the characters are amazing, Fran. What are your favorite characters, Fran?
Well, come on, I'm in the same.
Is it David? Role. Is it David?
Absolutely. I just love him so much. From his outfit, the way he's, like, so rude to Alexis. I like it's just like you said. I don't have, like, any, okay, like, I have siblings, but I never grew up with them, so it's like, on TV. I'm like, damn, I want a sibling now. I want that, I want that relationship with, like, it's just so funny because even though there are times when Alexis is mean to David, David's mean to Alexis, they always have each other in the end because that's really all they have. And you have those like heartfelt moments when David's like, well, Alexis, actually, I was always worried about you when we were a kid, because she would like,
yo, she got some crazy stuff.
She's the definition of the rich, wild child. But like, I think it's just like, you're right. Like, it's just something about David. He's just like, from his behavior to his personality to his freaking, like, the way he can just snap back at somebody, like his comebacks and everything. Like, he's perfect. So, like, Dan Levy
is amazing. If you ever
get the chance to hear this podcast, which I don't know if you will, but if you ever do, you are amazing. And thank you for bringing these characters and the family into our household.
I know, right? Oh my God.
I do really like Alexis though, because like, okay, talk about that more for like storyline and character arcs, but like, that's all I'm going to say. I really like Alexis, but Moira, come on. She's like,
oh my God, don't get me started. Moira's what accent is that? I don't know.
Person accent mixed with British or something, or like
maybe like, that's what it is.
Like, she's just hysterical because of her accent and her clothes and her
David,
her wigs, and when she says baby, the bebe, like
bebe. Bebe, come here.
I think the roses, just those four characters, have to be everybody's favorite characters.
Also, they're just iconic.
They're like amazing, and I'm so happy. Like, I just hope that if people ever think about Canada, one of the people, like one of the pinnacles of entertainment, they think of, like,
it's Schitt's Creek.
Schitt's Creek and the
for roses. Sure, for sure, it has to be. It's just such a wonderful sitcom. I was so happy that I found out it was Canadian. Also, it's filmed in Canada. It's filmed like some sort of town in Southern Ontario. I don't know exactly where, but yeah.
And like,
for the outside shots though, obviously. It's, like, it's filmed the interiors in Toronto.
It makes me so proud because I'm like, I'm on Twitter, and like sometimes, like when they were trending for their like Emmy sweep, and people were like, oh my gosh, I had no idea Schitt's Creek was Canadian.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, it's Canadian. Guys, it's not everything is American, okay?
Like, also, like, I remember watching that, friend, during the Emmys, and I was like, yo, what is this show? Like, it just won everything.
And I can't believe that, like, sitting back and watching, it's like, oh my gosh, it was on for 6 seasons. I feel like it just started. I feel like I just heard, like, CBC's, like, you know, series premiere, Schitt's Creek, and being like,
but you know what, that's what I love about it, is that they chose to end it right, because I think those are the what makes good sitcoms and bad sitcoms, because I feel like if you do go on for too long, you kind of like the point of the sitcom kind of gets erased. And also, like, with this show, it's literally called Schitt's Creek, so like technically like it couldn't have been like, because at the end of the season, everyone leaves and goes to other places. Like, they could have had another season where they show them in different places, but it wouldn't feel right, because that's not what this show is. You know what I mean? I remember I'm watching Parks and Rec, and they kind of do the same thing at the end of the sixth season. It's almost like assumed everyone's leaving, but then they still, for the last season, it's still in the town. Because that's literally what any sitcom is about. It's about whatever place it is. It's almost like that town or city or whatever it's placed in is like another character of the show. Because it really is, you know?
Yeah, the town, it's another person. It has personality. And I think, like you said, they ended it right. So if, you know what, because we're all thinking like, ooh, what's going to happen with Alexis? What's going to happen with David and Patrick, right? Patrick?
Yeah, Patrick.
David and Patrick. What, Moira is in LA. John's in LA or in New York. Like, they all went all over the place. So
yeah,
a few years, they could do like an hour and a half special just to be like, just to bring back.
Oh my God, please.
To see what's going on with them. But
Netflix.
No, CBC. Let's keep it.
Oh, true. It would make it more easier if it's on Netflix. But, also, the show is on Netflix. Also, it's on Prime Video. It's both. It's on both. Is that right?
Oh, that's iconic.
I love that it's on both. That's interesting. It usually doesn't happen, by the way.
Often. That Impact. And it's probably on CBC Gem if you do the paid
stuff. Yeah.
But
but what are your other favorite characters, Freya? Like, oh, and also, what's your least favorite, too?
Oh, yeah. I didn't get to that. So my least favorite's Roland. Like, I just...
I get it. And
his wife, because I just find them really irritating and annoying sometimes. But that's just mm-hmm. the personality, right? So I can't hate them, but, like...
Yeah.
They annoy me sometimes more than I can like them, but I like when Roland stood up for John at that
amazing.
Like, at that meeting when they were like trying to get the hotel hotel chain going.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I can get behind.
Oh my God. You know what? That's an amazing moment, Fran. That was probably the best moment from it's in the last season, I think.
That was like some character development of him just not like being a little shit disturber, annoying guy, but this was him being like, hey.
Just standing up for his friend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I think now, since we're talking about characters still, let's move into our favorite storylines or arcs.
Mm-hmm.
So like Kyle, yes. Or character arc. So like, on the sake of... just keeping it concise, what is one character arc that you really liked or one storyline you really liked?
You know what I would say, because I already talked about, you know, David and Ev, so let's talk about someone else. Also, I already explained kind of what he is, so I would say I would really want to talk about Patrick, because there's something, his backstory is quite good, and I like that it's familiar to David's, but completely different in a way. So basically, he was engaged to this girl. All his former relationships was with the girls, right? And he even said to David how none of them really felt right. Because he probably liked them, but he probably didn't love them. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the difference between him with his relationship with David, is that he not only loved David, he respected him. And he saw the potential in him. And I think that's why he chose to even help him with his business, you know? It was like, he was helping with his business, but then him as a person also.
Yeah.
And I love that because he doesn't change a lot, but he changes enough because, first off, it's his first relationship with a guy, right? And he doesn't tell anyone. He didn't even tell his family yet. And it wasn't because... they thought they wouldn't like it. It's because he thought something was going to change. And I thought that was very, very, I thought that was really interesting, because I've never seen that in a show before. It's very hard to deal with coming out stories because you have to be very careful with it. But I feel like this show did it really well though.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. Because it is quite, the thing that's, they make it like, for example, because I think David invites his parents over for, I think, was it an engagement party or, I don't know, it was something like that. It was some sort of party. And they invited his parents to come. And John accidentally basically told them that their son is gay and he's in relationship with his son, but they had no idea, right? And you would think, it would be like that sort of thing where maybe they're homophobic or something, but it's not. Like I said before, they were just upset because they were just wondering why their son didn't tell them about it, you know, because it seems like they were quite close with their son and they're very upset that they wouldn't tell him, that he didn't want to tell them that yet. But his reasoning is good because he just didn't want things to change. Like most people are afraid of that, you know, no matter what it is, anything, is that they're afraid of change because it's scary, you know? And I related that to, Patrick that to a lot, because it's just, you know, mm-hmm. it's just really like that. And I just, and also I just really, I don't know, just Patrick's such a good character. Oh my God, do you remember that scene where he's like singing that song to David?
Oh my God, that made me like, and then Moira, yeah. Like Moira noticed and oh my God.
And he was saying how happy to say, he's like, you know what, that's, he really loves you. And I was like, yeah, he really does. Oh my God. You know, and yeah, I would say that's probably one of my favorites. My other one definitely would be Alexis, I feel, because Alexis as a start is probably the most bratty, spoiled, rich girl you can ever. It's like, it's very that, very much that archetype, even the way she speaks.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like she's from, like, California or something, but she's clearly not. You know, she has, like, that, like, that, like, whiny, like, oh, my God. Like, that's basically what her voice sounds like. And it's, oh, my God. But her arc is amazing because you can see at the start, she, like, always wants to, like, she always relies on her relationships and the men she's with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and also she makes the wrong decisions. Like at the start, she goes. Wait, does she go with Mutt first or Ted? I don't quite remember. Is it Ted?
I think she has like an attraction to Mutt, and there's definitely that chemistry there. But,
I
think she gets comfortable with Ted, and then they start dating.
Mm.
And then it's when like she thinks that okay, well I'm with Ted, so that chemistry with Mutt is gone, but it's not, and then all hell breaks loose with the love triangle going on.
Yeah, no, I just remember that. Yeah, so basically
Mutt dates Twyla.
Yes, he was dating Twyla. I was gonna say that he was dating Twyla, but you could sense that she liked Mutt, but not really as a person, just physically, like physical attraction clearly. And you, and I think she meets, they date, right? Her and Ted in the first season, I think they do, right?
I think so.
Yeah, so they like have a relationship, right? But I feel like she's having one with him not on the right reasons, you know. It's because he has a lot of money, he's a veterinarian, it seems like the only one in town.
Another, like, good and, looking guy, yeah. The good looking guy who does the shirtless
acting. Yeah, and he's but yeah, Ted's like this really sweet guy, you know, and I feel like she really, because she breaks up with him, right, at the start of this, at the end of the season, because she thinks she's leaving the town, which doesn't end up happening.
Yeah.
And, like, she basically breaks his heart. I feel so bad for him. But, like, she makes a lot of decisions in the first few seasons that are very, a little selfish, a little almost like she doesn't really think about other people's feelings, right? And as the show goes on, she gets with Ted for the right reasons, right? Which is good, because she clearly likes him, but not as before where she was doing it for the wrong reasons. Now she's doing it for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, basically just like his job separates it, like his job makes them basically break up. He goes to, I think, Galapagos or something, like some sort of tropical island for a job that he really wanted to do, like a research.
You were gonna go and then she got the wrong flight. And then
that was hilarious. That was so funny. They choose, because, well, Ted comes to Schitt's Creek and basically tells her that, like, because he was only going to stay there for, like, 6 months.
Yeah. Oh.
Right? But then he gets a job saying, like, oh, I'm going to stay here, because they offer him, like, a year-long contract. So, like, no matter what, he's probably going to stay there, because that's where his job is now. And it's an amazing moment. It's the last season. I think it's like in the middle of the season. And, but it's sad, but also I feel like it's right. I feel like, because sometimes that does happen with sitcoms where they're like, oh, everyone has to be in a relationship at the end. And that's why they're good. That's why they're set, you know? And I feel like with David, that was the right thing, because he never had a proper relationship before. And Patrick was right for him, and it was like all the circumstances was good for him. But for Alexis, I feel like her going off on her own, by the way, she's the only one that goes to New York City, I think, is the best idea, because that was her problem. Was she was always she was never independent. She was either relied on her boyfriend or her dad for money or anything, basically. And I'm glad she chose and the writers chose to be like, you know what, the best thing for her is to be her own independent person. Because not only she has a really good relationship with Ted and sadly doesn't go through with it because of circumstances, but she like gets a degree for like I think for do you remember what the degree was for exactly, Fran?
No.
I don't quite remember, but it was like
public relations PR.
Boom. It was a, yeah, it was like a PR college degree. She graduates. Like, it's amazing. And she even helps Moira with the, like, her, with her PR, you know, with her, like, with her acting job. Like, she, like, helps market the movie that she's in.
Yeah.
And I feel like she truly finds out, like, what she is and what she's capable of and the potential. I think it's a lot of that in this show with Dave and David, too. Or even Moira, you know. They choose to better themselves. And I feel like the Schitt's Creek, like, enables that for them to do that. I feel like if they didn't, it's even, like, at the very end when, I think, I forget exactly what the line is, but, like, Lex is like, you know what, I'm glad we lost the money. Because it's true. If they didn't lose the money, they would be exactly the same. And that would be truly, like, just terrible because, like, I think it's great that they lost the money and finally found out what really money is and find out what who they are. Mm-hmm. And I love that even, I think Alexis even denies money. Like, Twyla is basically revealed to be a millionaire. She's like $90 million or something. She won the lottery years ago, but she chooses to do the things she loves instead of using her money so much or relying on materialistics, you know? I think that's what really the show is about, is that, sure, money can make you do things and it can make it things easier for you. But in reality, it's about the relationships you form and the relationships you hold. And they have to be healthy relationships, no matter if it's like an actual relationship or your friendships or your relationships with your family, because that's really what matters. And I think that's what the show is about too. It's about that. It's about the healthy relationships you can form and then that you choose to stay in and what's better for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect description of basically what the show is, because
no. That
is what happened at the end. That's what happened.
Yeah. What's yours, Fran? Like, what's your, like, your favorite? Like, storyline or arc or, like, literally anything. Even, like, just name an episode you liked.
Well, like, my favorite storylines, obviously, I like David, because, like we
did. Yeah.
David.
Yeah.
Off, like, basically, I think, incapable of loving anyone and thinking about anyone kind of other than himself.
Yeah.
Very superficial, materialistic. But then over time, he finds love and he chooses the small town over
mm-hmm.
New York, like the luxuries of New York, because obviously we know that the Rose family is going to be coming into a lot of money again. Like they have. Like,
yes. Yes.
The mother, Moira's acting career is taking off again. The dad's opened this motel chain.
With Stevie, which, oh my God, I would love, we should mention Stevie, by the way. She's fantastic. I love her. I love how sarcastic she is. I love how she just is who she is. And I love how, like, her insecurities about, you know, like, doing, like, forming a career and, like, being responsible and independent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, she's a really good character, too. I love her. She's fantastic.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, with David, it's just that arc of finally finding love and being true to himself and what
yeah. he wants.
And then Alexis, I love because exactly, she was way too dependent on men and other people taking care of her, but then she would put her foot down and she was like, you know what, I'm gonna live for me and I'm going to do what I want, even though
exactly
heartbreaking, because I thought, yay, her and Ted are back together, this is they're so cute together, and then I'm like, no come on, why'd you have to do that? But she needed it. She definitely needed
it. She did. It was the best for her.
But some people, because obviously everyone's gonna talk about the Roses, but Twyla, I think, is like an underappreciated character in the show.
I agree. Yeah.
Like, she had a good arc in the sense that, okay, like, sure, maybe her character kind of stayed the same throughout, but,
like, which is fine, though.
Like,
she's not a main character.
Her presence became more known. Like, first, it was just, like, maybe every other episode you would see her, and it was mm-hmm. just, okay, she's the small-town waitress who has, like, funny banter that makes the Roses uncomfortable because they're used to other people who don't speak like that. But then it's just, like, Alexis and her become friends because like
mm-hmm. they become best friends basically at, yeah, like towards the end.
The only other girl there that's around the same age group and who gets it and whatnot, and then like her presence becomes more known and there's this confidence about her, and she's just more relevant to the show mm-hmm. on, especially when it ends.
But, also, yes. It's played by Sarah Levy, the sister of Dan and daughter of Eugene. So I think it's great that like her character forms a friendship with the person she probably could have played in the show.
I was thinking
that. That was very quite funny. But yeah, I like Twilight too. Also, interesting name. I've never heard of it.
Twyla sounds very small townish as well, like a Mary Beth or something, right? Like it's very fitting, I think.
For sure.
Like it's like a Mary Beth, and I don't say that in a way to insult. I'm just saying it's very cute and charming. I like that name.
Yeah.
But like you said, sure. You know what? Let's talk about Stevie, because she went from being this sarcastic.
Mm-hmm.
Not awful, but kind of like an older sibling who really likes to put down and tease their younger siblings type of
thing. And who like didn't care about anything. Like she pretended like she didn't care in any ways.
Exactly. So she kind of went from that to like holding her own, getting herself out there, joining musical theater, doing cabaret, and now she's like a business owner.
Yeah, she's a businesswoman, and it's amazing. She works with John on the hotel business. It's even called the Rosebud Motel.
Love it.
And which is, is her last name? Yeah, her name is Bud. So with like...
two Ds, but they only put
one. Yeah, that was pretty funny. But, she's amazing. I love her. I think it's interesting because at the start, she like likes David. She kind of has a crush on him. But like she gets over that, you know, and they just become best friends, which I also find is really cool.
Yeah, it's just like, it's awesome that they can do that. There was like, I don't think there's any awkwardness around them. It was just like
I think at the start a little bit it was, but then they just become really good friends after, especially when like David's with Patrick, you know, it's just really none of that awkwardness really.
And then, she lets herself be vulnerable with that guy who did the motel audits or whatever, like inspections or whatnot.
Remember? Like, I remember that. And then he doesn't like...
And then he's just like, oh, what? You thought this was serious? It can't be serious. My job takes me on the road all the time. Again, men suck. And that's my point. Because that made me so upset, because someone like Stevie, like such a hard, cold exterior, but then like she was vulnerable with this guy.
Yeah, it would have been nice if she got a more open guy, like Patrick.
And she let herself like go with him, and probably like she just let her guard down, and then he just like stiffs her and is like, JK, I can't be in a relationship. But
yeah,
ever in the area, you know, let's rent a room or something, you know?
Yeah.
So I think Stevie's just great and also underappreciated. Let's do a little shout out. I think she's from Quebec. So shout out to
Quebec. Interesting. I didn't know that.
Okay. I'm going to ask you first, what is your favorite season? And
okay. Hands down. That makes the most sense. Hands down, season 6, the final season, the farewell season.
God damn it.
It has to be. It's everyone's own life. Because first off, it builds up to David and Patrick's wedding, which is fantastic. I love those episodes. But even the episodes before that are so good. Like, there's that episode with Lexis and Ted. And I think it's, like, in the middle. I think it's, like, episode 8, if I don't remember. And even the start, like, the very beginning is them finding it. Like, it's very much focused. Like, I love this scene because it's very much focused on, like, David and Patrick's wedding. And I love that it focuses on them because they're my two favorite characters. So it's perfect. But also, it's because I feel like, first off, final seasons are really hard to do. Because honestly, it's either they're good or bad. Honestly, I feel like most of them are not, they're never like in between. They're usually just somehow like amazing. They do everything you've wanted, or they like completely dump the train. And this show doesn't do that. Because first off, it respects its characters. It continues to do what they were doing priorwards. Like whatever season, whatever they were doing before, they continue to do that. They continue all the arcs of the characters. You know, the one, oh my god, the amazing episode is when they go to New York, aka it's definitely filming in Toronto.
I know that the path is underneath that building.
Literally, yeah, it's quite obvious. But anyways, they're in New York City. And it's an amazing episode where they, I think it's Roland, Stevie, and John go to basically do a pitch of what their business is going to be, how they're going to open a bunch of motels, refurbished motels, like really nice ones, like basically buying old motels like they did with Schitt's Creek and like making them better, making them look nice. And the people at the who they're pitching to are terrible. They're so mean. They're a bunch of these like young guys who clearly got their jobs from their fathers.
Yeah, just these young, cocky, like business majors who have no real experience, but they think because
privilege
brought them there that they're better than anyone.
And I love how it's kind of sad. Like you clearly think, oh, they're not gonna get their business. This sucks. But at the very end, the girl that leads them to they first meet is like, oh, I'm actually starting a business. And those guys up there suck, by the way. They've rejected almost every good offer they've got. But I see that your pitch is really good. And I would love to work with you. And I'm also going to leave this job and start a new business. I was like, yes. I was like, thank God, because that would have been so sad if like they didn't make their own business and that was the end. But like, it was never going to be, because this show is extremely optimistic, like all good sitcoms are. So like, of course it was going to end like that. But yeah, that episode, those are like the stand episodes. The last episode is amazing. It's like everything goes wrong for David and Patrick, because it starts like raining and they made an outdoor wedding. So then they have to like make things, everything last minute. But I kind of love that, because then the town helps them find the venue and get the wedding on that day. And I think that was perfect, that it was all their friends helped them, because they wanted to make David and Patrick's day very special because it was their wedding day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the final season is clearly the best. Like if anyone says that it's not, they're wrong. Maybe season 5, though, because that episode where Patrick proposes to David is amazing. It's so good. Almost, like, basically teared up. It was a fantastic episode. And, but yeah, final season for sure. For sure, friend.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm going to answer with my favorite season definitely being the final season. Because like you said, it brings everything together, and it is, some shows just miss with last seasons, right? Like some shows just, they miss the mark. Audiences are angry. Audiences are mad. No, we want you to redo it.
It's because,
that season sucked, but it just proves the genius.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Levy creative family.
Oh my God. Yes. Both of them are geniuses. Dan and his father Eugene are geniuses. They made the show, both of them. They write a lot of episodes together, and I don't know if they directed, and I'm not sure about that, but they've wrote a lot of episodes though, and it's really their, like, this show's their baby, you know. And I even read that it made them closer too, which I love. Which is basically what the show's about also, is the family getting closer, you know.
I love that so much.
Like, even at the end, oh my god, in the final season, where, like, Alexis is, like, I almost cried this scene. It was so sad, where she was, like, this is, like, probably the last time we're gonna be together, you know, like, this.
And
I was, like, god, that made me so sad.
It was very sad.
Because sometimes I feel like that with my family, you know, because I do live with most of my family. The only person who doesn't live with us is my older brother, Chris. But it still doesn't really feel the same sometimes, you know? And yeah, I think that's really it. It's just a change. And I'm glad it reflected that in the show where, like, family is really important. And it's not going to be the same, you know, like what Alexis says. It's never going to be the same. But the fact that they're closer now is good because they can always just call on the phone or do video chat, even if they're not, you know, like living with one another, you know?
But other than season five, I really liked season one because, hey, that's how it started. We got introduced to the characters. The way it started was fantastic. The first episode, the pilot episode, was just everything, like maybe a little bit of calm before the storm of everything in their house being repossessed. So we got to, right off the bat, we knew who these characters were, mm-hmm. what they were like. Moira definitely probably wanting to be like, take my children instead. I would rather keep everything I own. So we got to like witness that madness and then we see these very rich, astute, wealthy people being put into an everyday local town, like just completely a shock to their system. That was the equivalent to like, if there was a person who only ate like macaroni and cheese for their whole life, every day is a meal, and then they introduced a vegetable to their diet, that is the shock. That was the shock to the Rose family system, was being put in this town.
Yeah.
Being like, well, you're not special. You're just an everyday person. So start getting to work.
Yeah, that's what they needed the most. They needed to work.
I'm just still shocked it took so long for them to work. But like, you know, at least David was able to make a store out of it. And that lady who he bought the store with, what did she give him? Like $40,000 or something?
Yeah.
Like, she was amazing. I think she's also underappreciated. Go lady who gave him the store. Who sold him the store.
I know. It was so sweet. Also, just hiring him anyways.
I know. It was just an amazing way to introduce yourself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The situation. It was a good way to set it all up. And, yeah, I look at that. Not a lot of shows can pull off a really solid first and last season. And
oh, for sure. But like a solid first season, an amazing, amazing Emmy Award winning final season for us. You know?
Totally agree.
Yeah.
So we're going to move on to, okay, so what kept you, what kept you watching the show? Now, was it maybe a specific character? Was it just...
I think what made me... Okay, well, actually, first off, though, what actually made me really want to watch it was because, first off, I heard it was amazing. I heard it was really good. I just never, like, got into it. I know Dan Levy because I would watch him on MTV when I was a kid. Because he was an MTV host. He would, like, film... I think he... Yeah, did you not know this, Fran?
No.
Oh my God, yeah, he was an MTV host, Fran. It was insane. He did like so much. I'm not quite sure if it was this show. It might have been MTV Live. I don't know. But he did like a lot of MTV shows, like live shows. He did a lot of like he was host for the most part. And I always knew him because, first of all, I knew he was Canadian because it was in MTV Canada, right?
Oh.
It was MTV Canada, so I knew he was Canadian. I knew it was filmed in Toronto. I knew that. But yeah, I would see him almost every day on MTV. I would watch it like a lot of the time, you know? And so I knew him. I knew his father. I knew they were father and son. And I really liked the idea of the concept. I thought that was interesting. And then the thing is, though, is I did know David and Patrick get married at the very end. Like, I knew that was the final thing because of just marketing. So that kind of bummed me out because I knew what the ending was, basically. Mm-hmm. But also, I remember the entire time I was like, where's Patrick? When are we going to meet Patrick? Like, I was waiting for Patrick to come. And then when he finally came in season three, I was like, yes, it's Patrick and he's amazing. He's fantastic. But what I really want to watch it, first off, was just, I just wanted to see, it's like what I said before, I just wanted to see what the Rose family was up to, you know? I just, also, it was like, first off, I binged the entire show in a matter of like maybe 2 weeks. It was insane, but I loved it. But what really made me want to keep on watching was just the characters keep on growing. To see what they're going to be, to see what they're going through, just to learn more about them. Because that's literally what any show is about. It's all about the characters, no matter what. Even if the plot isn't that good, you always are like, are the characters good? Because that's all that literally matters. Because with long-term storytelling, which is television, is that you're going to go through a bunch of plots. You're going to see your characters that you love in a lot of different stories. And what really matters the most is that you love these characters. Because if you don't, you will probably stop watching it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But with this show, I couldn't. I had to know, first off, how they were going to grow and how I wanted to see what would happen to them at the end. I wanted to see where they were going to go, what they were going to do. I really wanted to know because I really, like, they're not real, obviously, but I really cared for them, you know? Whenever they went through something hard, like what happened to Stevie, like, I really felt that because that was really terrible, you know? Or even David, or like I remember, oh my god, my favorite part is when he learns about Patrick's previous engagement to that girl, and he kind of gets hurt by Patrick a little bit because, like, first off, he didn't tell him that. He left out a big part of his life and he didn't tell him that. And I think David has a hard time with trusting people. And, like, as do I sometimes, you know? And because he had friendships that weren't good in the past. They were fake, or they really didn't care about him in the end. And I think he was hurt by Patrick just a little bit because he didn't give him the full truth. But I completely understood why Patrick didn't do that, because maybe he just didn't feel comfortable at the time. But I love the episode where David's just, like, eating a bunch of food and watching TV, which I'm like, that's me, though. So, like, it's just all about the characters, friend. Like it's really just all about that. I just truly love them. They're fantastic and so well written. Well, what about you though, friend? What made you want to keep on watching?
Well, I, like, when it first came out, I heard of it, watched a few episodes of it, and, like, at that time I was like, well, this is a great show to watch. Like I felt like this is a show that I don't think I need to watch in full. Like, if I'm just flipping through the channels and I just put it on, I can watch it. Kind of like any sitcom, really.
Yeah.
And then I, like, stopped watching it consistently, whatever. And then started getting traction and I started hearing more about it. And then I was okay, well, I think I should start watching it again because, like, wow, it just started, I feel. But now it's basically almost over, so I'm going to start watching this again. And then I think when I started getting into it again, I literally started, I think, when Patrick and David got married. So I already knew.
Yeah.
And I think I had seen that, like, half of the episode where Alexis and Ted, like, went their separate ways. And I just remember small things like that. And then, boom, the pandemic hit and I had stuff to watch.
Yes, Fred.
I needed stuff to watch, and then, like, Kyle, you were like, I'm thinking of watching Schitt's Creek, and I was like, you should definitely watch it. It's freaking fantastic. You should watch it. Even though I'd probably watched a total of maybe 10 or 15 episodes, but just...
I was, like, telling everyone, you need to watch the show right now. It's all that matters.
And then I was like, then my cousins in America were like, are you watching Schitt's Creek? And I was like, whoa, I definitely have to finish it before my American cousins do. Like,
oh my god, true.
So I, like, after you, I caught up to you pretty quickly. I think you were on season four.
You almost passed me, I think.
And I just started. I was like, only thing we're watching, Mom, you better like it. It's the only thing we're watching for the next, like, 2-3 weeks. And yes, it's true. I did almost pass you, but then you just, I don't know what you did. I don't know if you pulled all-nighters or what, but you finished a few days before I did.
Oh, I remember it was like maybe late at night. I was like, oh, I can watch this whole season in one night probably. And I did it.
Exactly, right? It's so easy to watch. And there were times when I would just be watching it, and because it's Netflix and the episodes go automatically, right? And I was like,
yeah,
okay, so I think I'm on season 3. And then I would like check, and I'm like, whoa, I'm on season 5. What the heck? I thought it was on.
Yeah, I know. I remember I was always asking, I'm like, what episode? And she's like, you're like, I don't know. It keeps on playing.
And I would like, sometimes I'd fall asleep and then I'd wake up, damn it, and I'd like restart, go to
it's
the
okay, I get that
backtrack the last 3 episodes I slept through. But I think just like you, it was the characters, and I just really, my heart, I love Dan Levy. I don't know. Like, he's, okay, he's way older than me, but I want to adopt him, you know? Like, I want to take
him. He's like, he's almost twice your age, man.
Like, he's just, I know, he's twice my age and definitely, like, 50 feet taller than me, but I just want
to hold him. He's so tall, right? I bet he's really tall.
And cradle him and be like, oh, you did great. Like, I just love.
No, he's amazing. He deserves and also, oh my God, let's get to the Emmys. Oh my God, they just like won everything. It was amazing.
Like, the jaw drop is like, oh my God, go Canada.
Yeah, like, actually, I think he even has a record on the Emmys. Like, Oh, he's the first person to win a primetime Emmy Award in all 4 major disciplines in one single year. No one's ever done that before. Isn't that amazing? He won it in acting, directing, writing, and I'm pretty sure producing.
Oh my gosh, what?
That's insane.
He's such a talent, and like,
he's extremely talented, and I hope he makes like shows, movies, whatever it is.
And listen, like, I'm gonna explain now the reason why us as Canadians feel the need to brand this as a Canadian show. Throughout probably the beginning of like entertainment,
mm-hmm.
I don't know who put America as a number one, but all you would hear about were American shows, right? Saved by the Bell, Friends. Why am I drawing a blank? I know there's more TV shows that existed for sitcoms that weren't just those. Okay, Seinfeld, Growing Pains, like all these sitcoms were American. And yeah, these were like, it's like you didn't make it until you were in like an American production or in an American show. It's like, yeah, they were number one for everything. And this is why us as Canadians feel the need that as soon as something Canadian makes it big and it's Canadian, we're like, that's Canadian. Boom. That's Canadian. I'm always fact checking people on Twitter. Boom. Keanu Reeves is Canadian. Boom. Martin Short's Canadian. Jim Carrey's Canadian. Eugene Levy's Canadian.
I'm Jim Carrey, Newmarket native, just saying.
Canadian. Like, I'm all over it. And that's why with Schitt's Creek, it's like, we're protective. It's like, okay, no. This is a Canadian show.
It really is, though. Like, everyone's Canadian, basically.
Filmed in Canada. Most of the cast is Canadian. Creatives on board, Canadian. Obviously create a Canadian crew, probably using like IATSE or NABET or something.
Yeah.
So it's just this Canadian pride thing, just because it's such an amazing show. And it's the morals of it, the message it's sending out is amazing. And it's done so well for it to
have
reached American audiences and for them to be like, oh, okay, this is kind of good. Like, not even kind of good. It's freaking fantastic. This show is amazing. So I'm just like very protective of it. Anyone I talk to, it's Canadian. If you say it's American, we're going to have a problem.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, but let's talk about, first off, the Emmy wins. They won seven awards. They won all the 4 major actors. Dan Levy. Eugene Levy. Oh, Annie Murphy, who plays Alexis Rose, and Catherine O'Hara, who plays Moira Rose, won all of the major acting awards. So Eugene and Catherine won the lead acting roles, and Dan and Annie won supporting roles. And then I'm pretty sure it won, first off, it won the Outstanding Comedy Series, the major award. And then it won a writing award and then a directing award. Dan won the writing award. It was amazing. I'm pretty sure he hasn't won an Emmy before in that regard. It doesn't matter anyways. He won like 7 Emmys and a multiple Emmys that night. But it was amazing. I remember people were like, whoa, what's happening? Like it just came out of nowhere, you know? Like the show was only nominated the year prior, but it didn't win anything, unfortunately. But it won everything this year. It was amazing. Absolutely outstanding. It was insane.
It was just, I'm at a loss for words. It's just like, it's fantastic. Yeah. And to just to be able to like know that like a show, a sitcom that will probably be a staple in many households across the world.
Yeah.
Is Canadian made is just amazing. And I just wish the same for more Canadian shows, because Canada has a lot of great content. And I just don't know, like, it's obviously, I think maybe it has to do with marketing or something.
Maybe, yeah.
But we're getting out there more. Like Kim's Convenience is more known now.
Yes, that's true.
And I'm hoping it follows in the footsteps of Schitt's Creek, of just more notoriety and getting that respect that it deserves. And CBC Gem is an awesome platform, and it's just like the marketing, everything. I think people better watch out, because, hey, Hollywood North is up.
Yeah. And you know what? Yeah. Yeah.
Hollywood North has got really good things coming your way.
And oh my God, Fran, I found the town it was filmed in.
Now I know, because someone I work with lives up there.
It's called Mono?
Mono?
Yeah, it's literally called Mono. I'm not kidding you. M-O-N-O. Okay. And it's right next to Orangeville.
Okay.
It's like basically northwest of Brampton. Like, swear to God. It's like very close. Actually, you know what? It's also, it's not that close to New Market, but if you just go in a straight line on the highway, you're kind of there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's a very small town. It's like 8,000 people. I only found it because they're selling the motel there, and it said where it was. Yeah, it's very small. Oh my God. There's not even that much like houses. It's just kind of like green.
I love that.
There's even a provincial park there too.
Oh.
I know, right? But yeah, it's just, yeah. It's an amazing show, Fran. I'm so glad we watched it this year. It really was such a highlight for me to see that show this year.
I totally agree. It's like in the midst of all this chaos, your happy place was like,
yes.
I guess that's turn off and like close everything off and just focus on what the roses are up to.
Exactly. I think that was also it. You know, like sometimes I would feel a little down because like we're literally in the middle of a global pandemic. And then I was like, you know what? Let's like see what the roses are up to. Maybe it'll make me feel better.
Yes. And it's just like what we kind of spoke about in our last episode, obviously, because this is all about what we've watched during the global pandemic.
Of yes, COVID. Exactly.
We all need escapism, and we all need something that can help center us and just help us breathe and just see joy in something again. And Schitt's Creek definitely did that.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the end of
this episode. Yeah, let's wrap this up, Fran.
Wrap it up. Kyle, tell me or tell our listeners what's coming up next episode.
Well, you know what, everyone? Thanks for listening to I Watched That with Fran and Kyle. Tune in for the next episode where we talk about Mindhunter, an amazing Netflix show that we've both seen, Fran.
Yes.
Only 2 seasons. It's a show that will make you want to sleep with the lights on. It's a crime drama focused on more the psyche of criminals. Do not forget to tune in.
So you heard that, folks. Next week, or next episode, my bad, Mindhunter. We'll tune in then and we'll talk to you about it later. I'm Fran.
I'm Kyle.
And that was I Watched That. See you next time, guys.